Who am I but a teller of twice-told tales, told to you, word by word, from the storeroom of remembrance, told to myself, every word wrapped in your hearing? What is truth but the tallying up of all our tales, plighted one to the other, troths given and received? Your words echo, long remembered in my soul. Your telling, my hearing, weave a veil of silence. Who am I but a teller of twice-told tales, told to you, word by word, from the storeroom of remembrance, told to myself, every word wrapped in your hearing? What is truth but the tallying up of all our tales, plighted one to the other, troths given and received? Your words echo, long remembered in my soul. Your telling, my hearing, weave a veil of silence.
I understood that I was to follow a set of announcements, which is what Carol told me, and is that not true? That was true, and I think I got up too soon. Actually, it does feel very appropriate to follow Frank's poem with a brief discussion of how Quaker Meeting for Worship works. And I have my little script in front of me. There's a much better script in your folder that was composed by Susan Shaughnessy. It's full of great humor and wisdom. I'm going to depart from my script for a minute and use some other modes to tell you what I think Quaker Meeting is about and how it works. So I'd like to do first what we do in Quaker Meeting, which is to close our eyes and to feel a sense of relaxation in your body and feel where your energy is in your body at this time. As you feel your energy move in your body, I ask, secondly, that you think about and bring into your energy the desires of your heart and mind for this weekend. And now I ask that you touch lightly and hold the hand of the person on either side of you. Now I'll go back to my script, and I'll first say that what I would tell you about Quaker Meeting is the way that I understand it from some years of practice. And because it is a meeting that takes place in silence, it is a meeting for worship of God, or however one chooses to call a higher power that informs and guides us in silence. And therefore, it touches each of us in a very separate and unique way. The miracle of Quaker Meeting for me is always the collective energy that is available for each of us, and the mystery of where that energy comes from and how it moves among us. And in order to allow that energy to move both in our own bodies and among us, we have practices that help us as we sit in silence. Because we're part of the Friends Conference and we have the plenary sessions, I think that we all find that Meeting for Worship is also an extension of what happens in the plenary sessions, as well as in the small group work that we do. together. So it's another form of coming together in which we find and center our own energy, discover what it is that we need to do for the weekend. And in addition, I believe we have the energy of the group available to us. And that energy of the group that is available helps lighten our load, helps us bear new responsibilities, and helps us move forward without resistance and without some of the pain. Quaker meeting is also a place where we share pain, sorrow, joy, and new insight. It's a place of hope and renewal. So I'd just like to give a few requests that will help us honor the silence and honor the meeting for worship. We hope all of you will take advantage of the meeting and also come in silence and in a state ready to be open and receive the messages of the meeting. When you stand to give the message, make every effort to project your voice, because it's frustrating for people if they're sitting in a far corner and cannot hear what is being said. We receive the messages of meeting in silence. And every meeting has its own particular character. There are some meetings that are known as, Susan describes them in her write-up, as popcorn meetings, where one person stands up and another person is immediately popped and stands up after that. And we do try to avoid that so that we can receive the fullness of the message. In a gathered meeting, each message will speak to us and speak to our condition on a level that is deeper than what we might expect. And it does have to do with the flow of energy in the room. So we honor that in silence and allow ourselves to receive what we receive for ourselves and receive for the group with time and patience. At the end of meeting for worship, we shake hands, and the people at the very front rows will probably begin that process, and you'll just hear some rustling and realize that someone next to you is about to shake your hand. So try to be on time. Try to come in full in the seats that are up front so that people don't have to walk and step over you if they happen to be behind you or late for meeting. Normally we meet in some form of a circle, so I don't know if that's about to happen this year or not. And do ask people about experiences they've had in Quaker meeting, because it's another form of sharing that takes place at the conference. And some people have been attending meetings for quite a long time and have very rich experience to share. Thank you. Thank you, Simone. That was lovely. A very warm welcome to each of you. I'm Carol Kimball, clerk of the Friends Conference on Religion and Psychology. This conference began 56 years ago as a way of bringing together Jungian psychology and Quakerism. Our business meetings and our decision-making processes follow Quaker practices, and we strive to function with integrity. However, everyone, even Quakers, some might say especially Quakers, everyone has a shadow, that part of ourselves that Jung described as containing all our unconscious strivings, which tends to become activated when we are feeling something strongly. Is everyone hearing okay? Okay. In the past year, the planning committee has been taking a closer look at our processes and their effects on the conference, and we've begun making some changes. We want to be more available than we seem to have been, and we want to hear your responses to the conference. These things have always been true, but this year we are trying out ways to make them happen better. We look forward to the dialogue we hope will take place.
This year, our conference is focusing on folk tales and on the fascinating ways we can discover more about our individual patterns and stages of development from what they have to teach us. Interestingly, just this spring, I've come across two pieces of writing that reminded me of the importance of stories. The person who probably was originally most influential in bringing to the public Jung's emphasis on fairy tales was Marie-Louise von Franz. She died earlier this year at the age of 83, and a friend sent me a copy of the New York Times obituary. It begins, "Once upon a time, in a faraway land, where princes once vied and heroes died, a child of the aristocracy was born." And it goes on to tell about her life. The other place where I read about the significance of stories was in a 1996 copy of the Noetic Sciences Review, which I came across during a fit of tidying up my house. In it, Isabel Allende speaks of stories. She says, "Stories are to society what dreams are to the individual. At a personal level, we need dreams to unclog the mind. Without stories, there would be no collected memory, no understanding of civilization, no spiritual legacy." One of the things she speaks of in this article is the idea of truth. We tend to think of fairy stories as "not true," in quotes, because they contain unrealistic elements like demons or elves or magical creatures or objects. When I used to read to my children from a collection of fairy stories from the part of Russia known as Georgia, each story began, there was, and yet there was not. There was once a man or a king or whoever. Isabel Allende says, "I think that everything that I write is true. And if it isn't true now, it will be true tomorrow." Before, I was called a liar. But now that I make a living with these lies, I'm called a narrator. And I am respected. Then she says, "There is an old Jewish saying that I like very much. Question, what is truer than the truth? Answer, the story." And I have a copy of the obituary, which I will put up somewhere where we can all see it a little later. Susan Shaughnessy has agreed to welcome our newcomers. I'll do it from here, probably.
There. I'd like to be more than just a bunch of greenery to you on the left. My name is Susan Shaughnessy, and I'm clerk of the Publicity Committee. So as you see me passing by, if you'd like to tell me how you heard of the conference, I'm speaking of newcomers, I'm all ears. We welcome you to the conference, and it's our custom to particularly welcome newcomers by asking them to stand one by one and say their names. Anyone willing to go first? Welcome, Jacqueline. Welcome.
I'm Bruce Darling.
Welcome, Bruce. Welcome. Welcome, Jerry. Welcome. Welcome, Catherine. Welcome. Welcome, Martha. Welcome. Welcome, Marietta. Welcome. Welcome, Joan. Welcome. Welcome, Margie. Welcome. Welcome, Greg. Welcome. Welcome, Gina. Welcome. Welcome, Richard. Welcome. Welcome, Karen. Welcome. Welcome, Bob. Welcome. Welcome, Tom. Welcome. Welcome, Tricia. Welcome. Welcome, Allison. Welcome. Welcome, Spence. Welcome. Welcome. Welcome, Anne. Welcome. Welcome, Jim. Welcome. Welcome, Phoebe. Welcome. Welcome, Jerry. Welcome. Welcome, Amy. Welcome. Welcome, Anne. Welcome. Malcolm, Mary. Welcome. Welcome, Janet. Welcome. It's not compulsory, you know, but. Welcome, Francesco. Welcome. In your packets, you will find much information, including this year for the first time, we have a handout on what to expect from your small group. Since this is the first year we've done it, we particularly like feedback from newcomers. Let us know if it prepared you or if it could be amended in some way. I asked a newcomer at dinner how newcomers would most like to be welcomed, and he said that he would like to be taught the secret FCRP handshake. We do not currently have a secret, but I would say that, wouldn't I? However, we are open to most forms of creativity, so if any of you think of a good secret FCRP handshake, let us know and we'll be glad to consider it. And welcome very much.
I'm Dorothy Reichard, and I have a few announcements. First of all, I'd like to make some introductions. The co-registrars are Lucy Edinger and Dick Bellin. Would they stand? Yeah, so. The conference manager is Peg Walbridge, who's here despite her sprained ankle. And so if there are problems with the facilities or anything, she's the one to go to. The small group coordinator is Doug Price. Jane, the co-coordinator, unfortunately cannot be here this weekend. I didn't know I was going to introduce myself, but I'm the pinch hitter for the Dora Wilson Librarian, and I was looking through the packet to see if there's any announcement about the Dora Wilson Library, and there doesn't seem to be. But all of you are members of Friends Conference on Religion and Psychology by virtue of your being here, and that means that you have borrowing privileges for a year from the Dora Wilson Librarian or from the larger collection at the Friends Library in Philadelphia. And we do have 167 books here from our collection, and they're in the lounge at the other end of the lounge from the bookstore, and you're welcome to come borrow books. We ask that you don't take them out until Sunday, but we'll explain that procedure. But the thing that I need is help. I'm going to have a sign-up sheet for volunteers to come and sign up if you could give an hour or so to help with the library. And so I'd appreciate you seeing me there. Now the Pendle Hill Bookstore managers are Amy Nabut, Mary Barnes, and Jeff Busa. Would you stand? Or maybe they're... I know Mary Barnes is here. And Jeff, yeah. So they've brought a wonderful collection of books for your purchase, and they don't want you to confuse the library books and the books for sale. Now, our leader of... Brain Gym and Integrated Movements is Mary Rentschler, and she's going to describe briefly what that is. There she is. And maybe you'll have to explain when.
We've normally had yoga or stretching exercises in the mornings, and our yoga teacher is somewhere else this weekend, and... The stretching person either didn't volunteer or isn't here. So I am offering at 7 o'clock Saturday and Sunday mornings Brain Gym and Integrated Movements. These are components of something called Educational Kinesiology. The exercises and postures are easy, non-aerobic for the most part, do not require any special clothes. You don't have to wear tights or have a mat or anything. The purpose is to move energy around to balance the various parts of your brain. And we'll do some some movements and gestures and postures designed to help for listening, which might be useful for us this weekend. I think we'll be doing some listening. And the integrated movements are based on energy meridians from acupuncture, and they serve to balance energy in the meridians. I think you'll find it interesting and enjoyable and easy, non-invasive, and we'll be doing this in the lounge in Funkhauser West. Okay, see you in the morning.
Look at your map, but West, I believe, is the closer side to us here. Mm-hmm. 7 a.m., yes. Mm-hmm. Now, Carol probably is sorry she got the Dora Wilson librarian up here, but it occurred to me the one other thing that you need to know is that you can borrow books any time during the year. You can write or call the library, and I'll tell you how to do that if you come visit me in the library. And they will send you the book for free, and then you can mail it back at a library rate. All right, now a few more announcements. The planning committee members all have these red dots. And there's going to be at least one planning committee member available in the lounge where the bookstore and library are at unscheduled times, in other words, when we aren't having meetings in here, all weekend. And so attenders can come and bring any concerns they may have and discuss it with the PC member. Now, so to avoid a lot of announcements, we're using the bulletin board, which is at the side of the entrance to the dining room. Now, you'll have to read it so that this works. anyway, look there for announcements that you won't have to hear here. And the packet you received has, at registration, has several important sheets in it, and it will save time tomorrow at the annual meeting if you read the minutes and the treasurer's report before you come to the annual meeting. And then, you see, we can ask for your approval. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dorothy. It was a very much last-minute kind of thing for her to pitch in there. I would like to ask now to have the listeners stand and come forward here so that all of us can see who they are. And okay. And Richard is the one nearest to me. He's the convener of our group. And let me see who's there. Jane Porter. Can't see everybody. And Dorothy Reichard, Clay Mitchell, and Jean Wilson, and Sylvia Simpson. And these are people who are here to hear your comments, your concerns, your questions, anything that has to do with the conference. That if you see one of them, they're the people whose special job is to pay attention to that. Thanks a lot. And I'm going to be announcing that they're who they are again, just to remind people as we go along. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Thanks. I have one other announcement. It's a request. If there's anyone here who would like to and can lead folk dancing on Sunday night, we'd like to know. You can come and find me, and we'd like to know about it. We could use somebody who could do that. It would be very nice. Thank you.